Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the High Speed Stuff podcast. I'm Scott Benjamin, the auto editor here at HowStuffWorks.com, and I'm joined by Ben Bolin, and Ben is the video writer here at HowStuffWorks. How you doing, Ben?
I'm doing very well, Scott, and you know what? I was feeling a little bit artistic today, a little bit creative.
Really?
You know? Yeah, we're lucky. We get to hang out and talk about some very creative things usually.
Cool.
You know, some brilliant designs for automobile parts that people have made, such as continuously variable transmission.
Ah, yes.
You know, that's a world-changing event. And we've also talked about very unique types of automobiles, considering, for instance, concept cars.
Yep, very unique. I mean, remember we talked about one with I think it was a Zen rock garden and a waterfall inside.
Yes.
We've had a great variety of cars on this show.
So today I propose that we add another facet, if you will.
All right.
To this great perspective on unique cars.
Hit me with it. What is it?
Art cars.
Ah, art cars.
Have you heard of this?
I have, and I love them. I think they're cool.
You love them?
Yeah.
Would you tell me, as well as the rest of the listeners, what exactly do we mean when we say art car?
Art car. Okay. Well, this varies greatly, really, because there's about four or five different categories you can put these into. But if you've ever seen a car that has just a load of stuff attached to it, plastic doll heads and buttons and saucers and cameras and radios and things attached to the outer surface of a car,
sure,
you know, glued to it, screwed to it, riveted to it, whatever, that's an art car. And there's also a version of this that's a painted art car where, you know, it's just the car is a canvas and you paint on the car. You paint a work of art on the panels of your car. That's another type. There's also sculpted cars. And sculpted cars are ones where, you know, the body now looks like a shark. The body looks like a cupcake.
There's a gigantic castle on a hill or something.
Yeah, that's right, like a big gothic castle on a hearse. We've seen that before. You know, they're made out of foam or they're made out of metal. There's just this great variety of cars you can have that are considered art cars. So, you know, as our article on our site points out, you know, you ask somebody what an art car is, you'll get 100 different answers. You know, you ask 100 people, you get 100 different answers.
And sure.
Same thing with art. You know, what is art? You'll get 100 different answers from 100 different people. So same thing with art cars. But it's pretty unmistakable when you see one. You'll know it when you see it.
Let me tell you, I saw I believe it was a station wagon, mm-hmm, at some point that was covered with bottle caps. Bottle caps of every single type and variety.
Yeah.
And
you're shaking your head a little bit.
You know, I'm going to be honest with you, bottle caps, not exactly my thing, mm-hmm, but I could appreciate the sheer amount of time, mm-hmm, that it took to put these together, and I was so overwhelmed by just the sheer sensory input of this, mm-hmm, that it never occurred to me to ask why somebody would do that. I just thought it was so strange.
Yeah, it's odd, and you know what, I've seen that before with pennies. I don't think I've ever seen a bottle cap car before. Mm-hmm. I've seen a few bottle caps on some other art cars that, you know, are done in a pattern, but maybe not the entire car.
I see.
And at pennies I've seen on cars. At Ripley's, believe it or not, museum, I've seen those. And online now, and this shocked me actually because I was looking these up earlier to see some photos of art cars. And there are more cars covered with pennies than you would believe. There are vans. There's Mini Coopers. There's, of course, Volkswagen Beetles. A lot of people do that. Just an unbelievable amount of cars. There's a Corvette covered with pennies. There's more than you would think. I thought there was only one, and then, you know, there's people that not only have a car covered with pennies, they've got a suit made out of pennies. And they wear the suit standing next to the car for photographs, you know, at these events. And
or maybe just out. Maybe if they're in between laundry loads.
Yeah, if you want to wear your 50-pound suit, that's fine. You know, that's the thing you got to remember with these is that, you know, you're adding a ton of weight to the car. You're, mm-hmm, adding, of course, aerodynamic drag. And, you know, of course, it's out there in the open for people to grab things off of the car. So that's always a possibility. Well, they're a unique vehicle. I mean, but when you start talking about the cars where people are just attaching all kinds of stuff to them, you know, just random things or maybe themed cars. A lot of them are themed cars.
Okay.
And, you know, they may have a theme of doll heads. and they've got, you know, 5,000 doll heads attached to the car, or maybe they have silverware and they attach, you know, I don't know, forks and knives and spoons to the car, and that's all they do. But it's a lot of work, it's a lot of effort, but you got to expect that someone's going to come by and want to take one of those off of there, just because that's what people do. I don't know, just there's a lot of concerns with this as well.
Yeah, I imagine. I'd like to submit, before we continue, I'd like to submit a definition of an art car to our listeners, pending your approval.
Okay, go ahead.
Would you like to hear this?
Yeah, I would.
I think an art car could be defined as a car that's main purpose is one of artistic value rather than one of the usual automotive values, such as, you know, transportation or hauling weight.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed, because so, it's intended for the enjoyment of anybody that it drives past, or the owner. You know, it's intended for their enjoyment, really. It's not necessarily a very practical way to get around, I'll tell you that, because you can't really take it to the car wash.
No.
I would assume that maintenance becomes very difficult, you know, trying to get underneath the hood if you've sealed it in somehow, which you got to remember not to do that. You got to keep the lights free, you know, so you can still actually use the car. And when you're traveling on the road, if you go to, you know, certain speeds, some of the stuff might start blowing off. You have to make sure that everything's attached, you know, well. You have to make sure that you can see. So, you know, you've got lines of sight into the front, rear, and the sides, and your mirrors are clear. A lot of concerns, but you know what? I think you're right that, you know, it's not necessarily meant to go to the grocery store in. It's more a car to take out for parades and events. Make people smile.
Which apparently they do with no small measure of success, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've seen a few here in town. I know of one that I could drive to right now in 15 minutes if I wanted
to. I can see that grin breaking out on your face.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I've never stopped to look at it. I've never pulled in to look at it, but I know where it is, and I know I could pull into the parking lot and look at it if I wanted to. It's at a business here in town in Atlanta, and every top surface, I don't know if the side surfaces are not, now that I think about it, every top surface is covered with something, a three-dimensional object of some kind, and it's probably glued or screwed on there or riveted or, you know, however they're attached, but it's permanent because it's been around for a long time. It hasn't, you know, melted in the latest rain or anything. So I know that it's I guess as permanent as it could be.
Man, we have some cool stuff to talk about in this podcast. What do you want to do first?
Well, you know, there's some famous art cars. We can talk about those if you like.
Okay.
Now, there are some BMWs that will come up on any online search. If you search BMW art cars, I think there's 17. I'm just trying to recall the number that I saw online earlier, but I think it's 17. And this started in 1975 with a BMW 3-liter car that someone was going to enter it in a race. And they contacted a local artist or a professional world-renowned artist, Alexander Calder, and said that, you know, I want this car to be like a rolling canvas. I want you to paint it with whatever you'd like to, and this is going to be your design. I'm going to race it in this this televised race. And from that point forward, you know, BMW said, hey, this is a good idea. Let's roll with this. And they went from 1975. They had famous artists all the way through up until this year do art cars. Not every year, but in some form or another, like Andy Warhol did one. Roy Lichtenstein did one. I don't know. This year was Robin. I think it's Robin Road is his name, and he actually used the car as a paintbrush. Kind of, he drove through paint on a big canvas, hundreds of feet of canvas, and used the car to paint on the canvas surface. So the wheels are really covered, you know, splashed and covered with paint, and the body is as well, you know, from him doing this. But the real artwork, I guess, would be on the canvas.
That is, you know what? That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
BMW, they've got some genius marketing.
Yeah, they do, and they've got all these, you know, housed in a museum, and you can look at the entire collection if you like. You can check it out online if you want. But there's some, of course, because it's a new artist every year. There's wildly different designs for every year, so it's entertaining to look at.
What are some other ones?
Well, I don't know about famous art cars, but there are a lot of, you can find a lot of art cars at various events around the U.S., around the world, really, I should say.
Do I know what you're going to bring up?
What's that?
Am I jumping the gun? Stop me from jumping the gun.
Well, I don't know. Go ahead.
Are we about to talk about Burning Man?
That's one of them. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to find my list here.
Because I will fill in for a second.
Yeah.
to our listeners unfamiliar with Burning Man, mm-hmm. It's very unique event mm-hmm. held out in a temporary city erected just for that purpose.
Yeah.
And one of the emphasis points of this event is to create a completely surreal and unique experience, which is reflected from nose to tail, from top to bottom, in everything, including the cars. Am I right there?
Correct. Yeah, very, very, very accurate. Very good.
Well, I've never been there, but I'm feeling creative, as we said, as we opened this.
You know what? I've never been there either, but seeing some of the vehicles that they bring out for this thing, it would be pretty cool to take a camera out there and shoot the vehicles, and then I don't know if I would stick around or not.
Lay it on me about the vehicles, then.
All right. Well, that's one of the events. I mean, we'll talk about a couple in a moment, but I mean, there are cars. I saw cars that look like cupcakes there. Uh-huh. Now, again, I haven't been there. I've only seen, you know, photos online of this, mm-hmm. you know, and descriptions, but and also various sites. You know, you can go to different art car sites like Art Car Central or Art Cars in Cyberspace is another one, and they've got examples of all these art cars that you can take a look at. You know, all, I mean, every one is unique, so mm-hmm. it's worth it to go through the gallery and just look, you know, page after page, really. It's mm-hmm. really cool. But the Burning Man cars are something unique. I mean, I've seen just remarkable stuff. I mean, I don't even know how to describe it. There's semi-trucks that look like scorpions. There are cars that look like dolphins and sharks and, mm-hmm. and birds and fish and ducks. And, you know, a lot of it is really well done. Some of them are, you could tell, are just kind of thrown together. Others are so well done that it looks like a show car you'd find in a museum. They're welded. They're, you know, everything's perfectly sanded and painted. Mm-hmm. And it looks great. But, you know, everybody, again, it's just all about your, I guess, artistic side coming out. So, you know, no one pokes fun at the ones that, you know, aren't quite up to snuff or whatever. It's, you know, they're expressions. So,
yeah,
that's it.
Now let's look at some of the other events, because unfortunately we can't all drive out to Burning Man. So
sure, yeah.
What are some other places?
In Houston, I guess Houston has something called the Houston Art Car Parade, and I guess that is the largest event in the country, with somewhere around 250 to 300 vehicles. Represented from all over the world, really.
Oh, wow. So we could catch some of the Burning Man vehicles over there, probably.
You probably could. You know what? I bet there's a very good chance that you could.
Okay.
I bet there's a very good chance. And then there's the Art Car Fest in San Francisco. Of course, there's a Burning Man project that you mentioned. The Art Car Museum in Houston.
Cool.
There's a museum. So there's another one called the American Visionary Art Museum, which is, just another art car exhibit, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got a bunch of those. Art Car World, which is being built by someone named, and you know, Ben, help me with this name. Okay. H-A-R-R-O-D.
Herod?
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 Herod? Blank? his last name is Blank.
Okay.
And he has something called a camera van. I'll have to look this up. But anyways, he's got a van that's covered with cameras. All cameras.
I think the thing
weighs something like 7,000 pounds, if what I remember. And not only will he, you know, show up in this van that's covered with cameras, all kinds of vintage cameras and new cameras, he will also wear a flashbulb suit when he arrives at this thing. And I guess,
how does that work?
Well, he can't even, you know, the old flash cubes, I guess, or flash bulbs.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He can't sit down, I guess, in this thing. It's just too mm-hmm. impractical. But I mean, it's good for, you know, the photo op. You know,
that's so strange to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't. So they're on the pants as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they're on the pants.
That's a different world.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? What's interesting? Well, we're talking about him.
Yeah.
You know, one more quick thing, and we'll get back to this Herod.
Let's call him Mr. Blank.
Mr. Blank. The Peterson Auto Museum has an art car exhibition, or they had an art car exhibition, and they displayed a car called the Glass Quilt by Ron Dulce. And I think it said he took 18 years to complete his Glass Quilt car. And he put individual pieces of glass all over a Volkswagen Beetle, a Bug. And each one is, you know, hand-fitted, of course. And he said it's really smooth. There's no gaps in between the glass. He said if you want to really see it, I think the quote in here is that if you really want to see this car, you have to touch it. You have to feel it, because it's completely blanketed in stained glass.
That's so strange.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
I think
really
that's
is.
My favorite of the ones we've
18 years.
So far.
Now, Mr. Blank...
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Blank. Yeah, he has he's got an independent film. It's a documentary. It's a 77-minute documentary called Automorphosis, and it's all about art cars. So he travels with his van and his flashbulb suit to promote the movie. And he shows up for premieres in different towns. And it's going to be showing here in Atlanta at some point. Check your local listings and find out, you know, where something like that would be showing in your town, and there's a good chance that it'll be there. But I guess in that film you could see a phone car, a hamburger car, of course the stained glass car that I just mentioned, and of course his own camera car.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty cool, huh?
That's great. So my first question, after hearing this story of somebody taking almost two decades to build, you know, what's frankly my favorite car so far, my next immediate question is, what does it take to make one of these?
Oh, well, this takes your imagination, really. I mean, the sky's the limit, I suppose, on any of these.
Okay.
You know, it's your own canvas, so it's just like any piece of artwork that you would do. Whatever you would like to do, you can do. I mean, if you want to paint, you paint. If you want to attach nothing but shoes to your car using, you know, wood screws, then go ahead and do that.
Okay.
You could glue things. You could make a temporary art car. We didn't talk about that. You could use tape, or you could use vinyl graphics, or you could use magnets to attach anything to your vehicle that you want to. So you could attach magnets to the object that you want to attach and then stick it to your vehicle.
Okay, that's good.
You know, as long as it's not all plastic.
Yeah.
A lot of cars are, so.
I don't know. Temporary art car, that sounds neat, but I think I would want to go all the way, you know. If I'm going to make a car that is nothing but a tribute to Ed McMahon or something, for example, for the sake of argument.
Fantastic idea, by the way.
Would that work?
Yes.
Hmm. Now I just have to be able to see through it, be able to lift the hood, and be able to have working lights.
That's right. Yeah, and make sure that none of the Ed McMahon pieces are going to fly off on the highway.
You don't trample on my dreams, Scott.
I'm not making fun of it. It sounds like I'm making fun of you. I'm not making fun of you, but really, I mean, they're cars that have they're cars that have messages. Uh-huh. So they've got, you know, some kind of promotional idea behind them. You know, like don't litter or that type of thing. Save the world, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Interactive cars, which they encourage people to come over and touch the car. So like a car that has Lego surface. You know that base piece of Lego that you would always get that, you know, that's what you build everything on, it's your foundation?
Yeah.
You could cover your car in those base pieces and then have blocks kind of all over the car and then encourage people to build whatever design they want on top of those blocks.
What a great idea.
Yeah, well, it's not my idea. I mean, it's out there already. Somebody's doing it, but it is a good idea. I agree. But that's kind of one of these interactive cars that people could have. So it's not just painting. It's not just, you know, gluing a bunch of whatever you happen to collect onto the car. You can really put some thought into this and engage people around you. And, of course, you're going to get a lot of stares. There's a lot of attention. Some people want the attention. Some people,
sure.
I from what I've read, some people build this and don't realize the attention that's going to get them. And then they hate their art car. You know, they don't want to be in it. They don't hate what they've done. They hate that they have to drive it.
Oh, that's tragic.
Because, you know, it's just all this unwanted attention because everybody's going to have questions for you. Everybody's going to stare at you.
Sure.
And another point that they made is that if you attach things to your vehicle that you don't mind or that you do mind losing, that's a bad idea. Because you're going to lose things. People are going to take things. Things are going to be damaged.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a part of this kind of this culture, this understanding that, you know, when you build an art car, you better have replacement parts. You better have repair parts with you at all times so that, you know, you can fix and adjust as you need to.
And that's a really good point to tie into another larger point. If you decide you want to make an art car, make sure that you use a spare car. You know, buy something that is not your everyday car.
Precisely, yeah, because I don't know, you're investing a lot of time into this thing and you're gluing something to the surface of the car. You're not exactly sure how that's going to affect your mileage, which I know how it's going to affect it.
Negatively.
Negatively, of course, yeah. And it's just going to make things a lot more difficult for maintenance, of course, and you're not going to be able to wash the car. There's going to be a lot of... with the upsides, there's a lot of downsides as well, and you need to really think about every bit of this.
Sure. There's a price we pay for art.
That's right, Ben.
There we go. That sounded like a good fortune cookie line there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, very good.
One last one before we move on here.
Sure.
If you were going to make one, do you have any ideas?
You know, I kind of like the idea of smaller cars. Matchbox cars or scale model cars, like even if, you know, some of the bigger ones, the
cars on cars.
Cars on cars, yeah. If you had a car with big panels, like maybe a great big old Cadillac or something, a huge Cadillac, and you were to attach nothing but model cars to every inch of that car. That would be a unique look.
Maybe taking the racing tracks and having it go up the middle like a racing stripe.
Fantastic idea. See, you're thinking.
Yeah.
What would you do?
That.
How about live grass? Some people put live grass in their car.
Did they? You know, I was thinking about that when you said you could put almost anything. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about something organic or living.
You know, but I've seen photos of a sculpture car with a working waterfall.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they had a water pump and just this foam sculpture that they had created that they were able to get a channel so that the water could flow down it. It's not the luxury car that we were talking about earlier, but no, this is like just on the roof of the car. I've seen a Volkswagen Beetle with another Volkswagen Beetle on top of it, upside down, welded to the hood.
That weirds me out, man.
Yeah, it's a little strange.
That makes me think I'm looking at a reflective pool.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, I'm going to go with the cars on cars. I'm going to go with your idea because there is a running joke on the internet that I won't go into now. I'll send it to you later. Mm-hmm. Maybe some people are familiar with it, which involves Exhibit is a rapper, mm-hmm. prominent U.S. rapper, and the idea of Pimp My Ride. Remember that show?
Yes.
And putting a car in your car, because the joke is you can always count on the crew of Pimp My Ride to put something completely impractical in your vehicle based on your casually mentioned hobby.
Yeah, usually a 75-inch flat screen TV.
Sure. Yeah.
Something like
that. I mean, what would the average Honda Civic be without a 75-inch flat screen TV?
And a washer and dryer.
And a washer and dryer.
Yeah, why not?
Scott Benjamin, all class,
that's
all day.
Right.
That's what it says on the business card.
Yeah, sure.
Well, hey, man, do we have any listener mail?
All right, sure, Ben, why don't we do some listener mail? Unfortunately, listener mail today is a bit sad.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, really? I mean, I'm not kidding. I'm not trying to lead you on here or anything. Right. It really is.
It's
a bit sad.
Okay.
Well, sad.
Let's hear.
Yeah. I got an email the other day from someone in Anderson, Indiana. And he had just listened to the Tether Car podcast.
Okay.
And he said, I have some bad news about the Tether Car track in Anderson, Indiana. Remember we talked about how there were only three Tether Car tracks remaining?
One of which is in Anderson, Indiana?
Correct. Yes. He said that the Tether Car track has shut down in Anderson, Indiana.
Oh,
it's gone.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah. They said that something about the old building that it was located in didn't meet the code. Mm-hmm. So, he works third shift at a gas station, and he met one of the old car lovers who owned part of the track. I guess it was co-owned. Mm-hmm. And then his message is cut off here, but I did email him back and got a little bit more information. So he said that, unfortunately, I said, well, maybe they can bring it back up to code and it can be saved. And he said, unfortunately, it's going to be demolished. It was an antique building that was beautiful in its heyday, but since Anderson has lost its automotive jobs and all the businesses went under, the building followed shortly after. So there just wasn't enough funding to keep the place open.
Who was that he wrote in?
His name is Matt, and he's from Anderson, Indiana. So I appreciate it, Matt. And again, sorry to hear that because, in 1948, there were 440 mm-hmm. tether car tracks in the U.S. And now there were three. Now there are two. So we're losing them mm-hmm. quickly here. But now there's one in California, and there's one left in New York. So they're opposite ends of the coast. So if you happen to be in those areas, I encourage you, like Matt did. Matt went out to see the cars race one day, and he said that's all he got a chance to do. But if you have one in your area, I encourage you to go out and see it, just in case.
And Matt, thank you for writing in. We don't hold it against you for being a bearer of sad news.
No, not at all. And you know what? There's a tiny bit of good news with this.
What's that?
And that while I was looking at this information, I was going to try to find out if that the news was online on their site. I found out that there is something called a portable tether car track that's being operated in Northern California now, and you're looking at me with stunned disbelief.
I'm not sure if I believe you, but go on.
It's I don't know much of the detail at all, but this is an all-aluminum track.
Uh-huh.
It's owned by the North Coast Tether Car Association, and I believe in October they're going to have an event up in the somewhere. I don't know where it is, in the northeast part of the country, but it's an all-aluminum portable tether car track.
Well, I'll tell you what, Scott, you're selling me pretty hard on it, and you know Christmas is coming up. So.
Well, no, I don't think. I think this is like a 60-foot track or something. It's big. It has to be,
right? If it's going to be moving cars without weight.
Yeah, sure.
That is a little bit of silver lining.
Yeah, I mean, remember, these cars go 200 and something miles. 214, I believe, mm-hmm. is the world record at this point. So it's got to be a pretty substantial size track.
Yeah.
I don't know. Interesting news. So, I mean, sad news about the Anderson track. Good news that, you know, there's this portable track that, you know, someday, who knows, maybe we'll make it down here to Atlanta. We can see it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I would love to go.
Mm-hmm.
And for all our listeners out there, you guys, thanks again for lending us an ear. We sure appreciate your time. We appreciate your feedback and your responses even more. So if you feel like maybe dropping by iTunes and leaving us a little review, we would appreciate that. Scott's also got an awesome blog. You know, I'm not on it. I'm a fan of that. I just read that one along with you guys. And even better, if there's something that we haven't covered yet, please do send us an email with a suggestion for a future topic at highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the High Speed Stuff blog on the howstuffworks.com homepage.